This is the sermon from November 23rd, 2025. The sermon text is Matthew 25:1-13. Johann Gerhard, one of the great pastors in our church's history, has a memorable quote that summarizes, I think, what Jesus is teaching in our gospel reading for today. In one of his devotional writings, Gerhard writes, "God promises pardon for the penitent, but he does not promise tomorrow." This parable of Jesus is a stern warning, but it's the one that he gives to his people out of love. And so, out of love for Jesus and love for our neighbors, we must heed what our Lord tells us here. This parable comes toward the very end of Jesus' earthly ministry. It's 2 days before he'll be delivered up to be crucified. And his teaching to his disciples becomes very urgent, even forceful, we might say, as he tells them what they need to hear before he goes to the cross. So here Jesus tells them that the kingdom of heaven is like 10 virgins invited to a wedding feast. These virgins represent the kingdom of heaven. This is the visible church on earth, all those who claim the name of Christian. Our Lord then tells us in the parable, 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. Within the visible church, there are those who are wise, who truly fear, love, and trust in God. And there are those who are foolish, those who do not fear, love, and trust in God. This wisdom, or foolishness, it's a thing of the heart. It's on the inside. You can't see it. But it does produce fruits that can be seen on the outside. In the case of the parable, Jesus says, "For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps." Though our Lord doesn't exactly explain what the burning lamp and the oil are, it seems to me that the burning lamp, or really the flame, is faith, and oil is that which keeps faith alive. The Bible teaches that faith is a living, active thing, like a flame. And it teaches us that faith is kept alive through the Word, through absolution and forgiveness, through the Lord's Supper. These things, then, are the oil. While the virgins are waiting for the feast to start, the bridegroom is delayed, and they aren't sure exactly when he'll be arriving. Jesus, the bridegroom, has ascended into heaven, and we are now waiting for the day when he returns in glory to gather his people to himself, bring them into his eternal feast. But we don't know when that day will be. We know neither the day nor the hour, as Jesus says. As the bridegroom is delayed, Jesus tells us that the 10 virgins all became drowsy and slept. As we wait for the return of Jesus, we will become drowsy, so to speak. Our bodies will eventually fail and will fall asleep in death. It's happened to every Christian since the day Jesus has ascended, and it will very likely happen to you and me as well, unless Christ comes again first. But the sleep doesn't last. Jesus says, "But at midnight there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps." The herald's cry awakens all the virgins, foolish and wise. Likewise, the Bible teaches us that at the coming of Jesus, every single person who has ever lived will be raised from the dead. Yet, though all will be raised, what awaits after that resurrection will be very different for different people. When the wise virgins wake up, their lamps are able to continue burning because they brought along spare oil. With lit lamps, they are able to enter when the bridegroom invites them in. On the other hand, when the foolish virgins wake up, they realize that their lamps have gone out and they don't have any oil to refill. The wise are unable to share with them, and so the foolish set off in a futile search for oil. When they return, it's too late. The door to the feast has been shut, and it will not be opened again. The foolish virgins pitifully call out at the door, but they're answered with words of judgment. "Truly I say to you, I do not know you." These are somber words from Jesus, and rightly so. because they point to the reality of judgment. At some point, you will fall asleep in death. At that moment, if you have faith in Christ, a living, active faith, then you will be taken from this life into the glory of heaven. And then, at the resurrection, at the last day, your body will be raised and you will dwell in the perfection of the new creation for all eternity. It is quite literally the best thing that can happen to you. On the other hand, if you die apart from Christ, if you allow your faith to grow dimmer and dimmer and finally go out, then only darkness remains. Those who die without faith in Christ will find the door to paradise shut. They will hear the Lord, whose grace they took for granted, tell them, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you." And that will be the beginning of the worst thing that can ever happen to a person. The beginning, because it marks the beginning of the rest of eternity spent apart from God. An eternity of darkness, pain, sorrow, and regret. It's a somber parable. It's one that sets you back. It gives you pause if you consider it seriously. And yet, Jesus tells it out of love. He loves his people. He desires that none be left out in eternal darkness. I mean, remember, the bridegroom had invited all 10 virgins to his feast, not just the 5 wise ones. Jesus also knows our sinful nature. And sometimes he knows that this sort of thing is what we need to hear. Several reasons for why we need to hear this stand out. The first reason that such a parable is necessary is that our sinful nature is prone to weakness, especially as time goes on. There are times when our faith burns particularly bright, maybe when we first come to the faith, maybe after our Lord blesses us in a particularly amazing or even miraculous way, maybe after the Holy Spirit has, just out of his grace and mercy, fanned that flame of faith into our hearts and stirred it up again, right? And yet, as time goes by, the excitement wears off. We are tempted to decline in our life of faith. We become lax in our prayer and in our reading of the Bible. We find more and more reasons to miss church, or we just zone out and go through the motions when we do attend. The flame of the lamp grows dimmer, and we refill the oil less and less. And so Christ gives us this stern warning that we would not take his gifts for granted. He desires to wake us from a spiritual stupor while there's still a flame present, while there's still time to get oil. Second reason that our Lord tells us this parable is to remind us that judgment is final. Now, this parable isn't the only place in the Word that God teaches this. It's just one example. Consider St. Paul's words from our epistle reading in 1 Thessalonians 5. There we read, "While people are saying, 'There is peace and security,' then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape." And yet, even though this teaching is clear, our sinful flesh hates it. We always want there to be another chance, another occasion for grace to be given. We want there to be a tomorrow so that we can repent tomorrow for the sin that we want to commit today. This desire is where false teachings like Roman Catholic purgatory or Mormon missionaries to the dead come from. Such teachings provide, it would seem, comfort, but it's a false comfort because it's contrary to the clear words of Scripture. And so they're no real comfort at all. As the Lord spoke through the prophet Isaiah, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Christ tells us this parable so that we do not take the time of grace for granted, because that time will not last forever. A third reason our Lord tells us this parable is so that we can be better equipped to tell and to warn others. Telling people who are in church they need to be in church probably seems a little unnecessary, but it is important, because we are all constantly tempted. Just because you're here today doesn't mean that Satan won't tempt you next Sunday, and in fact, I guarantee you that he will. So this parable serves to drive back the temptations that constantly attack us. And in addition to that, these words of Christ help strengthen us to call to those who haven't been in church, who haven't purchased oil for their lamps from the shop in a while. If the only reason for inviting people back to church is sentimentality, you know, we've sure missed you, well, then that's not really a very strong reason. I mean, sure, it's nice, and we should miss our brothers and sisters in Christ when they're absent, right? We should do that. But, you know, you could see them when you do your grocery shopping or go to community events or maybe even go out to lunch, right? Why does it matter that you see them at church? This parable reminds us that though God is present everywhere, there are only certain places where he has promised to be to forgive sins and strengthen faith, his word and his sacraments. Or to use the parable's language, only certain merchants sell oil. More important than our concern for seeing someone for an hour or two on Sundays should be our concern for having them with us in the kingdom of heaven for eternity. We're to love our neighbors as ourselves. And love, true divinely given love, desires what is best for others, not just what makes them feel good. Remember, our Lord gives even his words of stern warning out of love. And so, as you wait for the coming of the bridegroom, keep the lamp of your souls burning with the flame of faith. The warmth of its glow will drive back the darkness that is falling, and its light will be a beacon to others. Though you can't know when the bridegroom will arrive, you can keep the flame lit until he arrives. In the name of Jesus, amen.